is weird, odd, strange, or just plain bizarre is really your cup of tea, then the Golden State Media Concepts Weird News Podcast will give you that fix. Can't believe it? Well, listen for yourself as we deliver the strangest news you definitely won't find on CNN or Fox. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Weird News Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Weird News Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Heidi, and I am joined by the very wonderful and very special guest, Stacey.
Hello.
You all may remember Stacey as another wonderful GSMC podcast host, and she is joining me for this show of weird and strange and bizarre news, which, if I do say so myself, we are starting this episode off with a bang, because I read this and I was like, this is very bizarre and very sad and so strange. It involves the black market. I mean,
this feels almost like facepalm news.
Yes.
More so the weird news. You're just like, what?
Yes. Yes. Just the, why would people do this? It's so dumb. I mean, they do it so that we can read it on the podcast.
That's exactly why they do.
That's why this story happened. Just for all of you. Just so that you can find out that a man sold his kidney for an iPhone and is now bedridden after organ failure. Which is not surprising. Also, for some reason, when I took notes on this article, the title came in all caps, which I was like, I'm not going to change because that fits this story.
Right?
It's like someone's yelling at me about how weird this is.
Yes.
So what happened is a man in China sold his kidney for an iPhone and an iPad. He was a teenager when he did it, and now he faces real-life renal disease, because after removing his kidney, he has experienced kidney failure because you have two kidneys. So his other kidney is going into kidney failure, and it's bad. It's very bad. This man's name is Wang Shangkun, and he made headlines when he was 17 because it emerged that he had sold his kidney on the black market following a back-alley procedure, and all of this to get his hands on the latest Apple gadgets.
Which just... oh, seriously, okay.
Yeah, so bad. That's going to be this entire story. I'm like, why would you do that?
Yes.
I mean, I guess for Apple products. But
okay.
Yeah, it's bad. Apparently, also at the time, when questioned, he just said, why do I need a second kidney? Which, I mean, I guess technically you don't, but...
Yeah.
8 years later, at the age of 25, his remaining organ has failed due to complications most likely related to his initial surgery. Because of the kidney failure, he now spends his days in bed, like so many days at a time, and is forced to rely on regular dialysis to stay alive. In 2011, his case became a national scandal because he, as a teenager, again, 17, made contact with gangs and then engaged in the black market trade of an organ in an online chat room. And then he later told the Chinese media that he did it to get Apple products like an iPhone 4 and an iPad 2.
And I would just like to point out, this is before, you know, the $1,000 price iPhone. This is an iPhone 4, which I had. That was my first iPhone, and mm-hmm. I got it as a gift. So I'm like, now I've got, you know, a much bigger one and a newer one. And I'm looking back at the iPhone 4 and going, wait, really? Your kidney for that?
Yeah.
Really?
It's so small. Yeah. Also, I mean, you know that's not going to last you. Like, a kidney will last you a lifetime, but an iPhone 4, maybe, like, 4 years.
Right, and never mind that, because when the next one comes out, then you're just going to, you know, oh, you've only got the iPhone 4.
And you only have one kidney left, so you can't sell that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Although, in his crazy defense, he's kind of right in that it's not because, you know, he only has the one kidney, but rather it's because of the way the other kidney was taken out that he seems to now be having these problems. If he had done it at, you know, a legitimate hospital, he could make the argument, oh, I wouldn't be having problems. Though if your legitimate hospital is offering you, you know, iPhone for your kidney, I'm not quite sure how much of a legitimate hospital that would be.
Yeah, true. Although, I mean, apparently the gang leaders made arrangements with surgeons at a military hospital. So it was a hospital. Obviously, these were sketchy doctors.
Right.
And it was in his hometown. It was in Hunan. And it was in Wang's hometown. And to carry out the procedure, the operation took place without the parent, his parents knowing. They didn't consent to it, obviously. And he received just over $3,000 for his kidney, and the gang took a cut for their work as intermediaries. He then went on to buy the devices that he wanted with the money. So he didn't even keep it for, you know, the care later of his remaining kidney. And in 2012, a total of 9 individuals connected to the organ harvesting case were jailed for their involvement. And that was 5 surgeons involved with the procedure were among those convicted.
Okay, so that's good at least. It wasn't like, you know, a decade later. It was like, hey, the next year.
Yeah.
The people involved. Okay, that at least is somewhat decent that, you know, something was done about this absolute ridiculous situation.
Right. And probably because he had to come out and talk about it, because immediately after the surgery, he began to experience renal failure in his remaining kidney. And it is believed the disease was a result of unsanitary conditions where the surgery took place. He also didn't receive any post-operative care, which likely contributed to his current condition.
This is like taking the sort of, you know, things parents tell their children as examples to the extreme. Like, you know, oh, if everyone jumped off a bridge, would you do it too? If everyone sold their kidney for an iPhone, would you? Like, I don't know, as a parent, you would want to have to say something that out there.
No.
It's like, if this is the examples we're going with, we need to start all over again.
Right. And it's like, I just can't imagine like the peer pressure of like, well, everyone else has an iPhone, you know, like this wouldn't have happened if you guys bought me a phone in the first place. Like, oh God, I had to go to Selk in my kidney to get this phone.
Right. He was probably like, what can I get rid of that can help me get an iPhone? Well, I've got an extra kidney. I think my spleen, I can get away without that. My tonsils, does anyone want those? Like, was he like going through all the things he could? Like, how do you come to the idea of let me sell my kidneys for an iPhone?
God, I don't know.
And an iPad. But still, like, I don't care that it was 2 of them. That's, you know, those devices aren't going to be like the super cool thing even a year from now.
Right.
You need a kidney or both of them, ideally. Like,
right.
What?
Man, this is bad. This is also just so sad because your other kidney's failing. Also, it's not clear whether Wang could be given a kidney transplant to treat his current renal failure. So they're not sure.
Like, it's not sure that a kidney transplant would work, or like they'd be willing to give him one because you were an idiot who sold your kidney for an iPhone.
I feel like they're not sure if it would work.
Okay. Because I know there's sort of that argument in this country of like giving liver transplants to people who are alcoholics. And it's like, you kind of did that yourself. It's like, yeah, but I don't know that that's... Can we make that, you know, argument afterwards and maybe have them pay a lot of money but still give them the transplant? I'm like... I get he was a dumb teenager, but I don't think that's a reason to not give him a kidney transplant.
Right. I also feel like if that was the argument, it would make a difference that he was 17. You know, like you could argue like, oh, he was just a kid. You know, he didn't know any better and he's grown or whatever.
I feel like Apple needs to pay for this just for like a bare minimum as like good PR.
Yeah. Like, Apple needs to do a lot of things.
And I know, for some odd reason, my Lyft driver was listening to like talk radio and they were talking about how the newest iPhone didn't sell as well as they wanted to in China. It's like, here, right here, this is your opportunity. Give this kid a kidney transplant to like build up your goodwill in China because we care about that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I hope something happens.
I really
that's
do.
Good.
Yeah.
That's so sad.
That's really, you know, to die. You know, we all make dumb mistakes as teenagers, but they don't usually end up killing us.
They don't usually cost us a kidney.
Right.
Yeah. Going on to another story. Oof, I'm sorry. This one's kind of sad, too. This is about McDonald's. And a McDonald's customer threw coffee at a drive-thru worker over a wait for fries. So bad.
Seriously.
This happened in South Carolina. Authorities are currently searching for this irate McDonald's customer who threw his hot coffee at the face of a teenage female staffer. He did it through the drive-thru window. This is so shameful on his part. Honestly, so bad. The police department released a report. This apparently happened, or at least they released the report on the 22nd. And the incident involved a male customer who violently lashed out of the wait for his order. The police say the man went through the fast food restaurant's drive-thru and then asked for a large order of fries. The victim was a 16-year-old McDonald's worker who told authorities that the man was in a red Ford Focus. He He drove up to the drive-thru window and requested a large order of fries and was unsatisfied with the service because he was waiting too long. The suspect then asked to speak with the manager and, according to the girl, began acting obnoxious. She stepped away from the window because she saw the cup of coffee. This was probably terrifying. She saw the cup of coffee in the guy's car. Like before he threw it, she saw it. And so she was afraid that he was going to throw it at her, which obviously that's how like obnoxious he was being. Like she was already afraid he was going to retaliate. But the man kept asking for her to return to the drive-thru window, which she eventually did. And then moments after returning, the man pulled the lid off his cup of coffee and threw it in her face.
Okay, people, look, and my mother loves McDonald's fries. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous. And I will agree their fries are good. Mm-hmm. But, A, I'm not sure how much you care about anything since you clearly had the cup of coffee and that was still new and fresh and hot. So mm-hmm. you didn't mind wasting that. You can wait for the fries. And yep. also, I kind of wonder if this McDonald's didn't have those numbered spots where they ask you to pull forward if your drive-thru order is going to take a while. And I'm now wondering if perhaps those spots were invented for sort of reasons like this of have the irate person go not be near our employees while they're waiting for their food so we don't have potential problems.
True. I feel like this person, though, would have like walked up, you know,
with the cup of coffee,
to do it.
Like, what the heck?
Yeah, this is bad. Also, this was all caught on surveillance video footage.
Yeah.
So, McDonald's released the footage to the police and then... Fortunately, though, even with the video footage and everything, the suspect fled the scene before police could arrive. And the good news is that the girl, the teenager who was working at the McDonald's, she refused EMT treatments when they arrived. So she didn't, apparently she wasn't that hurt or she just didn't want treatment.
Right.
And unfortunately, she was not able to identify the license plate of the car. But they're still searching
for
him.
I would hope.
I would hope so.
The way you usually see these, like when things like this come up on the news, you can tell if they haven't blocked it out what the license plate is from the way the camera's angled for drive-thrus. So I would hope that they certainly have a good picture of this guy's license plate. And that's just, dude, is this really worth McDonald's? Look, again, I like McDonald's fries. I think they're really good. I don't know that that's where, what has he been charged with now? Assault and battery third mm-hmm. degree.
mm-hmm.
No, I'm sorry. No. In the same way, an iPhone is not worth your kidney. McDonald's fries are not worth an assault and battery third degree charge.
No, I feel like this episode so far is just a lesson of like, what is the real worth of things? Right. You know, how badly do you really want that?
And it's not nearly as badly as you think.
No. The consequences are far too high. So please also be careful if you see someone who's really irate with a cup of coffee. Stay away. They might throw it at your face.
Also, more importantly, irate people. Seriously?
Yeah.
Like, first and foremost, it's fast food. So if you're so upset about the wait time, I dare you to go home and try and cook it yourself. Because it will take much longer, especially for french fries. Those are a mess. I've tried it. But B, really? Seriously.
Really? Don't do it. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back and keep talking about some more weird news.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
Welcome back to the Weird News Podcast. We are continuing to talk about some weird and strange news stories. This is another one that is strange. It was kind of scary, actually, because this is in that, like, medical strangeness category where I'm like, man, anything could happen at any time.
Yes.
It concerned me. So the headline that got me was a possessed woman, that's what they said, was actually battling a brain illness linked to a growth on her ovary. that is scary. That's a lot of information and a lot of things that I don't want to have to deal with.
Right.
So what happened is that a woman named Lorena Gutierrez of New Mexico, she was suffering from seizures, hallucinations, and paranoia for more than 2 months until she finally found relief after doctors discovered a massive growth on her ovary, and the growth had triggered a rare autoimmune disease in her brain.
That is so crazy. Like left turn from my ovary to my brain. That's just an odd
more like step. A straight up, but yes.
Right. Like I don't think those normally connect, but okay.
So bizarre. And the story starts, it's told by Stephen Gutierrez, who is Lorena's husband. Mm-hmm. And he told a news agency, quote, "I was so scared, it was like she was possessed." And then he continues his story. It starts after they went to the ER, so she'd already been showing symptoms. And he said, "The night after she came home from the ER, we were up the whole night. She couldn't sleep, and she was talking gibberish. She kept saying, 'We need to get out of here. We need to leave.' She kept getting up and trying to leave the house." So she was acting crazy. He thought she was possessed. and then Stephen Gutierrez says doctors asked if his wife had been drinking or using drugs and suggested that she might be experiencing a nervous breakdown or depression, which, again, as a woman, I feel like the idea that you were just going to go to the doctor with some symptoms and they're going to tell you that you're overreacting or that you're depressed.
Right.
Happens too often.
Well, and more importantly, like, she clearly didn't seem to be in her psychological right mind, but they let her go home from the ER. I was like, how yep. crazy do you need to seem where they're like, no, we want to keep you for observation?
Exactly. So, yeah, ladies, fight for your healthcare. Anyway, continuing. Stephen said again, quote, "During her psychiatric consultation, she took a swing at me and we had to hold her down. It was so out of character. It was then she was admitted to the psychiatric hospital. At one point, I threw a little bit of holy water on her. And afterwards, my family told me they wouldn't have been surprised if her head started spinning around after I did that."
Wow.
So he really thought she was possessed. Eventually, Lorena lost the ability to talk, walk, or eat independently and was not responding to treatment. She's 39 years old. She was then transferred to the Presbyterian Hospital, where doctors diagnosed her with anti-NMD receptor limbic autoimmune encephalitis.
Wow, that's a mouthful.
I had to practice that one before we started. and this is an autoimmune disease that had caused her brain to swell, which is crazy.
Okay, again, my ovaries to my immune system to my brain. Like, I get everything in my body is connected, but can it all be connected in a way that works?
Yeah, it was a leap. Her symptoms were on par with her diagnosis. This disorder typically strikes women more commonly than men. And once it is diagnosed, doctors then look for an underlying tumor as the root cause. So apparently the tumor is always the cause of this disease, which is crazy.
Huh.
Apparently, she had developed the disease as a response to a 6-inch by 6-inch tumor that had developed on one of her ovaries. That's a big tumor.
Right, and on your ovaries,
yeah,
which...
Yeah, it's small.
Not, I don't, I mean, I guess ovaries are right near, you know, the part where you'd actually grow a baby, so I guess yeah. there's room to grow there, but 6 by 6 inches is...
It's big.
You'd think someone would have noticed something physical there.
Right, yeah. She underwent heavy steroid treatment and a treatment called plasmapheresis, all in an attempt to clear her body of the antibodies that had been attacking both the tumor and her brain. Again, an autoimmune disease. So her body was attacking herself and harming herself. Lorena has said, "Over the course of 3 months, I underwent speech therapy, physical and occupational therapy, but I don't remember much of it. It is a blur. Right now I'm in remission, but I could relapse at any time. It's not curable. It's only treatable."
And that's probably... I'm wondering if she's talking then about the cancer or about the autoimmune disease that came from it.
She's probably... I don't know. Might be... I don't know if... The tumor might not be cancerous, though. So it might just be a benign tumor that's growing mm-hmm. and then causing the autoimmune disease. So she might just be talking about the autoimmune disease, or maybe they can't remove the tumor.
I am somehow strangely more upset at the autoimmune disease not being curable than the cancer not being curable. Partly just because there's a number of cancers that we haven't yet found a cure for. So I'm just like, cancer, it's the evil that will not die. But your autoimmune disease, I'm just like, why is my body attacking myself and we can't cure that?
Well,
like,
that would be extremely frustrating.
Just like, yeah. Seriously?
Yeah. I don't think this is cancer, though, because okay. they didn't say that. So, yeah, the autoimmune disease is super frustrating because the idea that your own body is harming yourself. That's awful.
And you can't even, it's making it to the point where you can't even say, you know, what's going on with you. Yeah. Like, she's not speaking in any sort of understandable way.
Yep. It's terrifying. Lorena is a mother of three. She said that her faith helped her stay positive despite her frightening ordeal. And she hopes that by sharing her story, others will be more informed about the disease.
Well, yeah, and especially for something like that where, A, not only have I never heard of it, but you had a wonderful time trying to say it. That was such a long named thing.
Yeah.
That it's just like, yeah, I've most definitely never heard of that. And even if I had heard of it, I'd probably say it wrong. So then I wouldn't know what I was talking about when I tried to tell anybody about it. So, yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad she's, you know, sharing about it and that she's recovering because that sounds terrifying.
And I think this is so interesting, and I've seen things like this where in certain communities it can very easily go to, oh, I'm ill because I've been possessed, or someone's put a curse on me. And then having to deal with that is, I know, definitely hard for some medical professionals, if that's not where you come from, of, no, it's not because, you know, anyone's put, like, a voodoo spell on you or anything. It's because you've got, no, I just need to go, you know, see a witch doctor and do this strange, and it's like, no, you need antibiotics. And it's like, okay, we've got to find some way to balance this here, especially then with the thing again that nobody can pronounce.
Right. Yeah.
That makes it so much easier.
Right. I'm really glad she went to the doctor and, you know, there wasn't like someone who's like, we're just going to sacrifice a goat and you'll be fine.
Well,
you know?
And also that her husband was both like, oh, let's take her to the ER, but also holy water.
He covered both bases, right? Really.
Just do everything. Right. When you can't figure it out, go on. Yeah. Go all in.
I'm glad he didn't go in full like exorcism, you know? We just tried the holy water, just a splash, right. Just to see. You know, just
baby steps, but all in.
Yeah.
All in slowly.
Yeah, I'm really glad she got some medical help. And I'm glad they could pinpoint what it was. So wishing her the best.
Yes.
Also, this, I don't know, this isn't really a story, but this is something that I found interesting. It's kind of weird when you learn that celebrities who are like really famous now, what you find out what they did before they were famous. I always think exorcisms. That's funny. Yeah, who knows? I mean,
they might have. They probably can't talk about that.
That's off the record. So I just want to share with you all some fun little tidbits that I learned about some celebrities and what they did, especially related to reality TV, what they did before they were famous, what you know them as now. So the first celebrity to talk about is Emma Stone. And, you know, before she was on all the movies that we know her for now, she was in, she was a contestant on the VH1 In Search of the Partridge Family back in 2004. Apparently, she was competing for a role of a reboot of the classic 70s sitcom.
I vaguely remember this.
Really?
And I think the original Danny was involved, and that's literally all I remember.
Did they actually make the show?
Like, I don't know reboot? If they actually remade it. But I vaguely remember watching this, like, competition show for it.
You might have seen Emma Stone. And, I mean, to be honest, she didn't need that sitcom role. She did better. Also, she went by the name Emily back then, so.
And she might have been blonde, because Emma Stone is actually naturally a blonde and dyed her hair red for, I believe it was, what's that silly teen comedy I've completely blanked on? That was, like, one of her first big things. But they decided she looked really good as a redhead, and so she kept it. So if she was young back then, she might have just been her natural blonde, and you really wouldn't recognize her.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, she might have been blonde. I don't know. But she was on In Search of the Partridge Family, which is what a strange thing to be on. Also, another star. This is about John Hamm. And so you know him from so many things, like Mad Men and whatnot. But before that, he was on a dating show called The Big Date back in 1996. He did not make a very good impression, but things worked out well for him anyway. Also, if you do not know, if you watch The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, you will recognize that clips from his appearance on this show were then used in The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Wow.
And he did real bad on that show.
Oh.
He really did. But he looked, like, his hair was so 90s. Like, it was like the 90s grunge. Like, it just all fell in front of his face.
Uh-huh.
Almost like the bowl cut, but not, you know, like there was some extra to make it not a full bowl cut.
Yeah.
It was funny. I mean, he's cute. So he's still, you were like, there's a cute guy underneath all of that hair. You have a good face underneath that curtain. It's there somewhere. But yeah, it was pretty funny. He didn't make a good appearance. Sorry. But he did well anyway. So it's fine. Also, we're going to take another break, and then we'll be right back and finish talking about weird news.
This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA, it's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
Welcome back to the GSMC Weird News Podcast. We are finishing up our show. We're still talking about celebrities and what kind of like TV and things they did before they became famous. We have mentioned John Hamm before the break, and the next celebrity is someone I did not expect. It's Kesha, and even more unexpected, she was on The Simple Life, which I did watch as a child because I watched a lot of whatever E! News, whatever channel that was on E! I watched a lot of that.
Was that on E!
I think so.
It feels MTV for me for some reason, but it might be.
It could have been MTV. I don't know. But I remember watching it. And back in 2005, Kesha was still a teenager, way before she made the TikTok party anthem. And she joined Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie when they paid a visit to her family's home in Nashville on The Simple Life. So strange. I don't really remember how they picked the families. I feel like they just picked the most like normal, homely looking people they could find.
I didn't watch the show, so I only vaguely even know what it's about.
I feel like because Paris and Nicole are like trust fund babies, right. You know? Mm-hmm. So they would send them to like go live like normal people do. And it was like on a farm or whatever. And it's them with their like chihuahuas and like bedazzled everything.
Yeah.
Like trying to live a normal life and being very weird about it.
Yes.
It's really funny. It's so ridiculous. All of the stereotypes of sort of like the ditzy, like rich, you know, girl from LA.
Mm-hmm.
So here. The next one, Lady Gaga has two appearances on this list. Her first one is on Boiling Points, which was an MTV prank show. They have had so many prank shows.
Way too many, I'm sure.
Yeah. She went by her real name. I don't know if... Can I say that... Is Lady Gaga's real name Lady Gaga? I don't know. Depends who you ask.
Has she legally changed it? It's probably the real question.
That's true. I'm not sure. But she went by Stephanie Germanotta. And she was one of the prank show's victims in 2005. She refused to eat a salad covered in garbage and won $100.
Does that make her a victim? I feel like that makes you the person who didn't get pranked.
I guess. They made it sound like she was a victim of it. In the picture, Aww. She looked like she was really pissed as she looked at this like salad covered in garbage. So I don't know. But she made a second appearance before she... This was like right on the cusp of her fame. She was on The Hills in 2008. And she was going by Lady Gaga in this this show, but she was still kind of unknown. She apparently on the show, Lauren Conrad and Whitney Port had to style her, and they referred to her as some girl named Lady Gaga. So yeah, some girl.
Just some girl.
We know. She did well. She did well for some girl named Lady Gaga.
Right.
Also, in that clip, I saw an image, and she is wearing kind of what Lady Gaga would always wear, like not full like meat dress,
right?
But she had like the platinum blonde hair, and she had like it looked like a lightning bolt like fake tattoo over her face,
yeah.
Like
I
the David Bowie type look.
I remember this look.
Yeah, so she was on The Hills. It was pretty funny. Another person on this list is Laverne Cox, who's on the show I Want to Work for Diddy. I also sadly remember this show too. So you all know Laverne Cox. She's a performer, trans advocate, icon. But in 2008, Laverne Cox was a contestant on VH1's I Want to Work for Diddy, and she was competing to become Sean Combs' assistant. So, I mean, to be honest, kind of good for her for not getting it because...
Well, but see, Diddy's the same like with the prank shows for MTV is I feel he had too many. I know he had a number of different shows, so they all just sort of blend together. And if you've got that many shows where they all just sort of blend together as one reality show, then
yep.
I don't think you want to be a winner on those shows.
Nope, I agree. There are a few more. Elizabeth Hasselbeck, who is a former Fox News personality and co-host of The View. She actually got her start as a contestant on Survivor in 2001. Apparently, she was pretty good at the game, too. I think you can go online and watch her, I don't remember what they called it, like her send-off or whenever when they kick her off the island.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember what that part was.
Survivor 2001, was that the first one? Because I don't watch this either.
I don't know if it was the first one. One of the early ones, for sure. I enjoyed Survivor, though.
Heidi watched a lot of reality TV.
I watched a lot. I mean, TV raised me, but yeah, I watched a lot of TV. Let me think of another one. Oh, okay, here's one. Chris Hemsworth was on Dancing with the Stars. And this was before he was an Avenger, obviously. He was on the Australian version. I guess before the Avengers, he was an Australian soap actor.
Mm-hmm.
And then he appeared on the Australian version of Dancing with the Stars. So apparently, though, being on the show almost cost him his role as Thor.
But that feels like a not before they were famous, just before they were really famous. Because to That's be on true. Dancing with the Stars, you have to be somewhat true. Famous.
Could be right on the edge.
Although, speaking of Avengers, I remember, and I haven't seen this, but I only know of it, that Jeremy Renner, before he was famous, was on some show about, like, people trying to make it in L.A.
Oh.
I never saw it. I don't remember what it's called, but I do remember seeing a clip where they were talking about him being on the show.
I feel like I actually have not seen that one.
I had never even heard of the show before I saw this clip, so.
Well, good for him. He made it in L.A.
Very hard to do.
Yeah. I feel bad for everyone else on that show. He's the one person who made it out.
I mean, there might be more of them.
That's true.
I've never
That's
heard
true.
Of that show before.
We'll have to figure it out. So my last one for this list is Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad fame. He was on The Price is Right. He was a contestant in 2000. He made it all the way to the Showcase Showdown, but ultimately lost his chance for a sports car by overbidding. So I'm so sorry.
You can buy your own sports car now. You're fine.
Oh, yeah. He's fine now. Yeah, that's a pretty random show for him to be on. So I feel like that's not about, like, reality TV of, like, him trying to be famous or anything. It's just a classic game show.
It might have been he was in L.A. trying to be famous. And while I'm here, might as well go on Price is Right.
Might as well try and get a car.
Right.
Yep. I mean, it's okay. He still did well. So I believe that brings us to the end of the show. Thank you all so much for listening, and I hope you can tune in to our next Weird News episode.